A group of fifth grade kids from a Christian school were asked to watch some TV commercials. And from those TV commercials, they were asked to see if they could use them to communicate ideas about God. One of the first ones was, God is like Bear Aspirin. He works miracles. And some of you probably feel that way about Bear Aspirin. One is, God is like Coke. He's the real thing. God is like Hallmark cards. He cares enough to send the best. You know, and I thought about some of these things that the kid came up with, and one that I kind of enjoyed and got a kick out of, it said, God is like Tide. He gets the stains out that others leave behind. There's no one that can get all the stains out but God. Absolutely no one. He's like General Electric. He brings good things to life. He brought you to life, didn't he? You're a good thing. Whether you choose to stay that way or not, it makes a difference. Another kid wrote, God is like Sears. He has everything. Have you ever been into Sears Roebuck store or in a catalog and looked at all the things that they advertise? Used to be you could go into one of their hardware stores and find just about any type of tool that you'd want to buy, any brand name. God is like Scotch tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. Not only does he not show up so that you can see him, but he definitely holds everything together, doesn't he? God is like Allstate. You're in good hands with him. God is like Dial soap. Aren't you glad you have him? Don't you wish everyone did? Wouldn't this world be a different place if everybody had God in their heart and in their life? God is like the U.S. Post Office. Neither rain, nor snow, nor sleet, nor ice can keep him from his appointed destination. And what is his appointed destination? To bring us home, to be with him. He will do everything that he possibly can to meet that goal. In the first part of the Lord's Prayer that I shared with you last time, there's a couple things that I just want to review quickly. In the first part of the Lord's Prayer, he taught us that his name is to be honored, that his kingdom will be established, and that his will is to be performed. And when we have made God's service our first interest, then we may ask him with confidence that our own needs may be supplied. No, it's not a matter we ask for our own needs so that we can then take care of God's kingdom. It's God's kingdom first, then our needs second. And unfortunately, I'm not sure we always do that. Because I catch myself many times talking to God about my needs first and not his. But it's his first. than mine. If I have renounced self and given myself to Christ, then I'm a member of the family of God. And everything in the Father's house is for my benefit and yours, if you are a member of that family. All the treasures of God are open to all of us, both in this world and the world to come. The ministry of the angels are for our benefit. The gifts of the Spirit are for our benefit. The labors of His servants are for all of us. 1 Corinthians 3:23 and 21 says, "Ye are Christ, all things are yours." I wonder how many of us really believe that. When a person contemplates changing a job or changing their work environment or whatever it may be, there's always an uncertainty that goes along with it. Well, is this going to work out? Am I going to get as much pay, or am I going to get a little more? Am I going to be able to meet my debts? Is that what God wants us to do? If we are His, then is there any concern about what I need for today? Absolutely not. Because He has made a promise that He will supply all our needs. Not wants, needs. And I hope you make the distinction between those two. Because there are many times that I have wants that are not good for me. If I wanted a Ford Mustang with a 500 horsepower engine in it, would that be good for my health? Probably not, because I'd probably get behind the wheel and shift the gears and probably spin it out of control down the road someplace and probably die. And I've known too many young people that have done that, including several friends of mine that were in high school and college at the same time I was. Our wishes are not our needs. He will supply all our needs. Because everything belongs to us, since we are His children, and we have chosen to be His children, then we are to inherit everything that God has. That means in this world as well as in the next. But I'm going to tell you something. I am a child. Therefore, I do not have control of my inheritance. Because if I had control of my inheritance, I would probably squander it. I would probably allow Satan to weasel me out of it somehow, because that's exactly what he would do. But God is holding it in trust because I am a child. And He gives it to me as I need it and ask for it, not as I want it. I was doing a job yesterday that required an awful lot of elbow grease all day long, from 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock at night. This is what my elbow was doing all day yesterday. Hour after hour after hour after hour. At about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I thought that arm's going to drop right off. I don't know if I'm going to make this. But you want to know something? I made it by God's strength and by His power. Not by mine. You know, a lot of times I look at my finances and I say, well, Lord, I have enough for today, but I don't know about tomorrow. And I'm sure most of you in this room have done the same thing. But he tells us, do not worry about tomorrow, because today is sufficient unto itself. Tomorrow's another day. I'll take care of tomorrow when tomorrow comes, he says. Just trust me. And that's the hard part. If we are selfish, and if we are selfish, then we are not totally committed child of God. You realize that? That is probably one of the toughest statements that I was reading and had to comprehend and get my head around and my heart around when I was reading some of this. Because if I am still desiring those things that are selfish, then I am not totally committed. It's probably the hardest part of the human life to give to God is self. Totally. But it's something that needs to be done. When we say the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, it does not say give us enough for the next 6 weeks, does it? Give us this day our daily bread. The Bible makes several promises when it talks about giving us our daily bread. It says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. For those who walk in righteousness, it is written, bread shall be given them, and his water shall be sure. But when we pray for our daily bread, there are a number of other things that happen, because we are not only praying for the physical bread, we are also praying for spiritual bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Who is the bread of life? Jesus. The Word of God is our daily bread. Give me spiritual life today, I am asking him for when I pray, give me my daily bread. Do we really want that spiritual bread every day? Are we consciously thinking about that when we ask God to give us bread or food or however we want to term it? Luke 14, 12 through 14 says that when we make a feast and we call people together, we should not call in our relatives and our friends and all of those that are important. It says we are to call in the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind and feed them. Because what God gives to us, we are to share with those that are less fortunate. That is part of the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Because then it is also a responsibility to be stewards of it and to share it with those that don't have it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and by asking daily, we learn not only to depend on him, but we learn that we are to communicate and talk to him on a daily basis. He's not somebody that we come to and talk to once a week or when we feel like it. He's someone that we want to talk to all the time and need to talk to all the time. He's someone who we need to communicate with, the Bible says, without ceasing. Sometimes I know that I get sidetracked when I'm working and doing other things, but you know, every time I get in trouble, where do I turn? To the Lord. But not only does he want us to turn to him when we're in trouble and we're struggling with something, he wants us to turn to him all the time. With our praises, with our thankfulness, with our joys, not just in our times of sorrow and need. He wants constant communication with us. Then a prayer goes on and says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Is it always easy to forgive those that sin against you? When somebody does something to you and causes hurt, or when somebody breaks their promises, when people misuse you, the Lord makes it very clear that he gives forgiveness as we also give forgiveness to us, as we do it to others. A sinner has no merit. There is no reward in his works that places him in any kind of favor with God. And there is no works and there is no merit that even I, as a child of God, have that places me in favor with him. Everything that he gives is a gift. There is no merit involved. It is a free gift. I cannot do anything to earn it. I cannot do anything to merit it. The problem is, do I accept it or don't I? You know, sometimes we try to lessen our guilt by making excuses for why we sinned. That doesn't change things at all. God does not want to hear our excuses. Satan likes to hear them, but God does not. And then Satan takes those excuses and he tries to tell us that we have gone too far. And what's the sense of asking for forgiveness? Because our sin is so great, God will not forgive you. God says there is absolutely nothing that he will not and cannot forgive except our unwillingness to ask. And if we don't ask, he can't forgive us, can he? In order for us to receive and impart forgiveness, we must have the love of God in our heart totally. Because when I have his love totally in my heart, then I love like he loves, don't I? And it's not my love, it's his love that is being exemplified. Because I have no love of my own. In my human nature, I am a very selfish individual. And it's only in Christ that I have any love for others. This prayer, "Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive others, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," is a promise. It is our only safeguard from sin. And that safeguard is that God dwells in us. The Bible says that he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are what? Able to bear. In other words, he won't put anything before us that will cause us to crumble and fall and be squished, as some people say. But he will only allow that which he is giving the power to bear. And then that prayer goes on and says, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." In this portion of the prayer, the disciples and we are directed to look above all of the power and the dominion of evil. We are directed to look to the Lord our God, whose kingdom rules over all, and who is our Father and everlasting friend. You know, when we see things that are going on in our world today, we hear about wars, we hear about rumors of wars, we hear about possible nuclear threats by countries around the world, we hear about all these things that are destroying society. We hear about people taking the lives of other individuals. You hear about the natural disasters, the hurricanes, the tornadoes. Now they're looking at bird flu and all of these other things. And for some people, it makes them lose heart. But when we look at this prayer, it helps us to understand that God is in total control. He is above all, he is more powerful than all, and his kingdom is going to last forever. And so when I think about that little story I shared with the kids, I want you to remember, keep your fork. There's something better to come. And every time you hear the bad news and all of the pessimism and the destruction and the discouragement among people, I want you to think about keeping your fork, because there is better yet to come. Something that you can't even imagine how good it's going to be, because his kingdom will last forever. And everything in it is yours. It doesn't matter how far or how much we lose in this world, because there is something better ahead. When I closed last time, I shared this little item with you, and I'm going to repeat it again today. I cannot say our if I live only for myself. I cannot say Father if I don't endeavor each day to act like his child. I cannot say who art in heaven if I'm not laying up treasure there. I cannot say hallowed be thy name if I am not striving for holiness. I cannot say thy kingdom come if I am not doing all in my power to hasten that wonderful event. I cannot say thy will be done if I am disobedient to his word. I cannot say on earth as it is in heaven if I refuse to serve him here and now. I cannot say give us this day our daily bread if I'm dishonest or seeking riches by deception. I cannot say forgive us our debts if I harbor a single grudge against someone. I cannot say lead us not into temptation if I deliberately place myself in its path. I cannot say deliver us from evil if I don't put on the whole armor of God. I can't say thine is the kingdom if I don't give the king the loyalty due him. I can't say thine is the power if I fear what men may do. I cannot say thine is the glory if I'm seeking honor only for myself. I cannot say forever if the horizon of my life is bound completely by time. The Lord is giving us a lot of good food here on this earth. He's giving us a lot of that inheritance here and now. But pretty soon the plate's going to be taken away and he's going to say to us, keep your fork. The best is yet to come.